Hello, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. Last week, I began discussing the idea of a campaign strategy and ended up with the idea of messaging on issues. I'll pick up at that juncture today. Once you've written up a position paper on your issues, use it to write your campaign literature. It announces your positions and in some ways highlights the integrity of who you, the candidate, really are. It can also prove useful as a challenge to your opponent to put his or her views into writing. But like most political strategy, putting your thoughts into writing and publishing them in some fashion is not without risk. This becomes most apparent when you are not aware of all the facts surrounding an issue, or what you had originally thought was right on that issue, in fact, turns out to be an error. In this case, your opponent will have a splendid issue to use against you. Not only are you changing a position, thus a flip-flopper, but you are also showing how incompetent you are, which doesn't exactly win you votes. For this reason, it is wise to keep the list of these issues which you know well and which you know you will not change position relatively short. On a last note in regard to the issues and what you believe, do not neglect a single stump speech that will highlight no more than three of your main points and last no more than 5 minutes. Every candidate should have a stump speech that is the nucleus of any and every talk he or she gives. It not only communicates the message, it keeps one on message. This stump speech should revolve around those three main issues that you are running on, and you should be able to shorten up to 30 seconds if you're going door-to-door, or expand it to 15 to 20 minutes if you're speaking to a civic group. One of the areas that I see many first-time candidates failing in is this ability to concisely communicate who he or she is and why he or she is running. Don't make that mistake. Make sure you can communicate who you are, why you're running, what your issues are, and then ask for people's votes. It's as simple as that, and yet I see many first-time candidates lacking the ability to do even a basic stump speech. Now, I talked about how to build a campaign organization a few podcasts ago, but it should be made clear that this organization will be the most important tool you have that can help get your message out. So in that sense, it is clearly a part of your basic campaign strategy. It should also be emphasized that you should begin to build the bulk of your organization only after you have carefully thought through the issues. By having your thoughts on these issues clearly organized, you can impress people who you need to impress to get volunteers. And you're going to need volunteers if you're going to win. Once you've laid out your themes, basic positions, and have begun to build your campaign organization, the real work begins. There exist tremendous opportunities for you to get your message to the voter. And most of those opportunities are free. Remember, you have to get your message out as many times as possible to as many people as possible if you hope to win. This takes time and effort, but if done right, will obviously help you win your race. The following are some suggestions for how to effectively communicate your message. The media has to always be considered when planning campaign strategy. But this consideration may often include a decision to distance yourself from the media in a particular situation. For example, if you're meeting with a group of homeschoolers, it probably furthers your campaign very little to bring this attention to the attention of the press. The simple fact is that homeschooling is a very minority position, and you probably can accomplish obtaining the support of homeschoolers without a major press release on the subject. Simply communicate clearly to the homeschoolers, they'll get the word out. This way you reach the people you want to reach and do not alienate 98% of the public, which does not homeschool. Issues concerning the media are more fully addressed in later podcasts. A candidacy announcement. As we noted in the section on getting organized and when you declare your candidacy, you can use this event to gain media and public attention. Most people do a series of press stops. I remember clearly in my father's first re-election bid, he made a 5-city tour in 2 days, announcing he was running for office again. He lined up media and supporters, locations and times, and then kicked off his re-election. This took some planning to come off successfully. To do this, you have to prepare in advance by calling the local media and offering to do an interview with the appropriate reporter or editor. Likewise, call the local radio stations and offer yourself up for a talk show or interview. Your declaration is one of the few areas where you will likely get free media early in your campaign. There's also parades. Now, parades are one of the few places where many people will be able to see you in person. The goal in a parade setting is to set up a favorable impression with the voters. It's not about issues. Parades are about people, and in many ways, about fun. First of all, consider that the people attending the parade have to know who you are. You can accomplish this goal by making sure you are walking behind a banner or even a large, well-built sign in the bed of a pickup truck. Try to get supporters to walk along with you. Have them wear t-shirts with your logo on it. Shake as many hands as possible. I've seen candidates who refuse to get out of their cars during parades. Get out of your car and walk, shaking hands with people on one side of the street, and then go over to the other. It's pretty basic, and if you're smiling and shaking hands, odds are you're going to make a good impression. It can also help to have an eye catcher during a parade, though I would suggest not getting too cute. An eye catcher in a parade can be done several ways. A drill team, each wearing one letter in the candidate's name, marching in lockstep, doing large turns, etc., will get the attention of the crowd. That might be too cute, but hey, it's up to you, the candidate. Likewise, a tractor pulling a train filled with little kids wearing matching t-shirts will draw the attention of parade observers. A word to the wise as to scheduling and parades. Very early on, you should make an effort to identify the various parades in your area and try to ascertain the size and importance of each. Not all parades are equal. On major holidays like the 4th of July, do your best to plan your day to attend as many parades as possible. For those parades which you cannot attend, it's still a good policy to send a delegation, send a banner, and enough t-shirts to equip a group of marchers. Have a local coordinator organize the group to march along. Toss out some candy. You would be surprised at how many people will remember your delegation, yet not realize you weren't even there. Another way to get your message out is through service clubs. Kiwanis, Rotary, Civitan, Ruritan, Lions, etc. are excellent forms to communicate to the businessmen and women in local communities. These clubs typically meet monthly or on some other periodic basis. They are nonpartisan, and they're going to shy away from party politics. However, they do take an interest in federal elections, and many clubs have a tradition of inviting the candidates to come in on successive weeks to talk about who they are and their key issues. The format for a service club meeting is usually a luncheon or dinner followed by some club business and then a presentation by the invited speaker. This presentation is usually about 15 or 20 minutes, which then leaves time for some question and answers. The trick, if there is one, is to get yourself invited to one of these service clubs. A good way to go about getting invited to service clubs is to utilize your campaign organization to find a key player in the club who can request that you are invited. For example, have your county or precinct coordinators identify the clubs in a particular area, and then have that coordinator determine who they or your other volunteers might know who belong to that club. Having that person, who is a member of a club, request that the club invite you to speak will open doors that might not otherwise have been opened. When you speak at a service club, it's important to remember who your audience is. Service clubs are generally composed of business leaders, judges, lawyers, doctors. It is accordingly a place to speak about business matters, taxes, overregulation, government corruption in Washington. It's not the place to speak on abortion rights, gun rights, or the dangers of the United Nations. Design your presentation accordingly and know your audience. Chances are social issues will arise during the Q&A session. And of course, you're going to have time to address the social issues at other venues as well. As always, this is not an exhaustive look at campaign strategy or messaging, but hopefully it will help you to start thinking about this topic. Next week, I'll continue on this topic of where you can continue to spread your campaign message.